One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Holy moly, what is happening, y'all? As you can tell by the title, this one is the OTC or whatever anybody wants to call it. You can call it whatever you want. This is the over-the-counter with me and this other knucklehead, Mr. Filson, sitting across the table from me. We've been a gap in the shows because Kyle died and we brought him back to life. He's zombie Kyle. No, Kyle, you want to elaborate with your smoky voice,
yeah.
The fact that you, not just you, but your entire family has been battling the bird flu.
Yeah, the avian flu, dengue fever.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like, bad, yes.
It is horrible.
Yeah, I apologize, folks. We weren't able to do the show last week. I was sick. For 4 days, I was throwing up. My throat was bad. My head was congested.
You ought to see this
My
guy.
Voice now even doesn't sound that good. It all started with our youngest, Luke. He's 7 years old.
Dengue so about fever.
A week or almost 2 weeks now, he was the first to contract whatever this was.
He was patient zero
He was patient zero in the household. So, like, you know, one late night, he was sleeping and threw up everywhere. Had to clean that up. And then we put him in bed with us. And then he threw up again all over our bed. You know, so we had to, one of the quilts I just drug out in the front yard and just threw it in the front yard. I'm like, I'll hose it off tomorrow. It's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I ain't jacking with it. And I don't know about you. There's a lot of things I can take.
No.
Vomit is one of the ones, I don't know why. I don't know if it's the sound. I don't know if it's the smell. But for whatever reason, in our household, it's well known.
You can't deal with
it. I don't deal with the vomit. Like, if it's poo, pee, blood, I'm your man. I'll take care of it. A snake around.
Yeah.
I got spiders sometimes, depending on the size and speed. But vomit, dude, I am out. I saw Hazel Cat throw up, and I started getting sick one time. Anyway, so we'll get more to the vomit thing in a second.
Oh, no.
So Luke was sick first, right? So he missed like a day or two of school, and he finally started feeling better. So he went back to school. No big deal. About a day or so later, Jacob got sick.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, I come home from work, and Jacob's at home. I'm like, what's up with Jacob? Oh, he's sick. Same kind of thing as Luke had. He home from school one day, the next day he went back to school, felt a little better. About 2 days later, Caleb gets sick. Now Caleb's got it. Same kind of deal. Caleb had more of an earache, though. His ear was bothering him. And then, of course, 2 days later, I started feeling it. And I like to be the tough guy. I'm not the guy that likes to, you know, embellish or go to the doctor or anything. I'm just like, nah, I just don't feel so good today. I'm getting old. First, yeah. I was like, man, my back's killing me. That's the first thing I noticed is like, what happened? I mean, it felt like I was abducted by aliens and they put some kind of tracking beacon in
my
spine.
A gang probing.
Something happened. But because I don't remember lifting anything heavy and nothing. It just, I woke up with this odd pain in my back. And then that day I started feeling really bad. By the next day, I was hurting bad. I was like, dude, I ain't doing it. So that just happened to be during the week when we were about to record. So I wouldn't have been any good on the radio anyways. I wasn't able to put any thought into.
And now you've slipped over here to the studio and your wife has it.
Now, yes. Yeah, so now I'm back and now my wife has it. And this is the thing I was trying to explain to her. Bless her heart. I love her. But it is much worse on me when she is sick versus when I'm sick. And I'll explain this to you
here
for everyone out there listening enjoyment, listening audience for their enjoyment.
Well, see, we know already that she's not intelligent because she's married to you.
Yeah, that's probably
she
the
makes
worst choice.
Horrible choices
worst
in her life.
Yeah, everybody's like, man, it must be so interesting being married to you. All the cool stories. And she's like,
no, I hate him.
Nah. Anyway, so here's the deal. So because I left on my own and started my own business over a year and a half ago, because of the success of that and also the success of the show, she was able to quit her job. So for a long time, we both were employed. And one of the deals was, you know, if you quit your job, I don't have a problem with that. But your part of the deal is that you're going to take care of the stuff around the house, right? You're going to do the laundry. You're going to do the running the kids around, taking them to school, all that. And she does all that. Great. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's a great deal. The problem comes is when people start getting sick. When I'm sick, since I'm the one that goes off to work and does work, it doesn't affect her, right? Her day is still the same. It's just I'm at home in the bedroom sleeping.
Yes.
But when she's sick, now the problems compound on me because I still have to go work. But then when I come home, now I have to do all her stuff as well.
So you're a single parent when she's sick.
Right. I know she can't help it. She's sick. But I'm telling you, when I'm sick, it's not a problem. It doesn't disrupt anybody. Nobody even really cares if dad's sick.
No.
I think I'll lay in there and maybe twice a day somebody might come check on me.
See if you're alive.
Like, hey, man, you need a drink of water or something. Are you breathing?
Maybe
I've even heard
dead.
The door shut and be like, no, nah, man, he's still breathing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, like I'm an inconvenience.
Yeah, like they were laying bets on if you were going to make it.
Yeah. It wouldn't matter. They just simply move another person in.
That's right.
But so it's been hard on me. So I was sick. I finally got to feeling better, but now I got to help do more stuff because my wife is sick. So it's been a chore, man. It's been a real beat. I know this is first world problems because there's people out there that have really sick illnesses and things like that to deal with. We know quite a bit. This is all jokes. But I'm back.
So that's where we've been.
We've got an action-packed week planned.
This is the first time I've laid eyes on him in probably a week because I wouldn't come around him.
I don't blame you.
I ain't coming by, Pop. I ain't coming to check on you. I don't care. You'll make it, playa.
Here's the thing. Now, this is just a pet peeve of mine. I don't know if it happens in your household. When I'm sick, I respect everyone else in the house, I guess, and I board myself up in some distant bedroom, right? Not to be disturbed. I have a TV in there. I've got my books in there. If I need to use the restroom, I can come out. If I need a drink of water, whatever. I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a person in your household that when they get sick, likes to just like set up camp in the middle of the house? And
no,
you're like,
no, I've laid that law down whenever my kids were little.
Okay.
There was a quarantine. When any of us get sick, it's a quarantine. And I go to Costco and buy like big bottles of like plastic. Lysol and wipes and all that. When you're in our household, if one of you sick, you're quarantined. Like I will plastic off your door and seal it and cut strip in it where you can seal that. But No.
Luckily,
you ain't coming out of my door.
That doesn't happen at our house either. We've laid down the groundwork, but I will say in previous relationships and places that I've lived with roommates and things like that, I've had that scenario where this one guy that lived there, like he would get sick and he would just like post up shop in the middle of the living room. And I'm like, well, no, are you trying to get everybody sick? Because if you're sick, why don't you go hide somewhere?
Why don't you go get in your room?
I don't want to get sick. So I ended up having to hide myself.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of thing's annoying. But we got an action-packed week. We got some pretty interesting interviews coming up.
Yes, we do.
We're going to be talking with the one and only Randall Carlson.
Yep, we get to talk to Randall. We'll be discussing a lot of stuff that he's going to be doing with Grammarica up in Colorado.
That's right. I'm trying to remember the name of it.
I forget the name of that thing.
Contact at the Cabin or something
that's
like that.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
It's something like that. We'll have more information on a future show.
And we're going to be talking to Lyle. We're going to get Lyle to holler at us about the Momo book.
Yeah, Lyle Blackburn's going to be coming back.
The Missouri Monster.
He's going to be talking about the Missouri Monster. So I know that Small Town Monsters and them are making a documentary on it, but he's written a new book about it and he's a friend of ours and lives close by, so it's gonna be good.
Seth and his guys are staying so busy, it's ridiculous.
Well, and the people are loving it. I noticed when they launch a crowdfunding thing like a Kickstarter to help them, it's usually fully funded in just a day.
Yeah.
And they make great documentaries.
Yeah. And then we got more equipment coming.
We got some new equipment coming. That's right.
That we stumbled upon totally accidentally.
Yeah, that's normally the way it works. When we got into podcasting 5 or so years ago, there was far less information on how to do it, right? So there wasn't these how-to books. There was only a few people that really seemed to know what they were doing, like the Podcast Answer Man.
Yeah.
Cliff Ravenscraft, I believe is his name. But so we slowly over time pieced together a pretty good setup here, but it's quite expensive and it's quite complicated. I mean, if you don't go to school, there's a million knobs over here.
Which, and y'all already know that we turn them and that we don't do the proper things with them all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So this new system that we're getting is called the Rode Podcaster Pro. We got two of them coming and we've been trying to get our hands on them for a couple of weeks now. These are brand new. And so a lot of places are, they're not available yet for the matter. Well, you can order them, of course, but it may take you a couple of weeks to months to get them. And so we finally got some shipped to us from Sweetwater. Nick over there at Sweetwater was kind enough to send us two. One's going to be for the studio, and the other one's going to be for Cam's home studio, because oftentimes with our differing schedules, he likes to record at home. We've heard that before.
Oh yeah,
on the show. And but the difference between Cam's home studio and the real studio is we don't have the same setup. So there always is a little bit difference in audio. We're trying to get away from that. We want it to sound exactly the same, more seamless. And with this new technology, finally somebody came out with something that's easy to use, because we get questions all the time, emails all the time. Somebody's looking to start a podcast. Can you suggest how they do it, right? And I don't have any problem doing that. And if you want me to tell you, just email the show. I'll be more than happy to tell you with what we have. But the problem is there's so many pieces of equipment that we use that unless you're just a baller, it's going to take some time.
And it's probably overkill. We've discussed that.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. So this new device, this Rode Podcaster Pro, you can check it out. It's about $600, but it's supposed to be the all-in-one thing for podcasting. Yeah. So we're going to try it out. If it's not any good, we're going to send it back. Or maybe we'll have a raffle and somebody can win it or something. Or maybe we'll just use it for target practice. I don't know. But so we'll be trying that out.
Really,
so if you
notice
some differences in audio, that's all it is. You got to constantly be changing, constantly improving, or at least trying to.
And we're going to have to, and I don't have it open here in front of me, though, about the fella in Colorado that strangles a mountain lion.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was very...
I don't even know. Was he a jogger?
Apparently so. I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, I read the article a couple days ago, and there was a couple different news sources that were reporting it. But yeah, I think he was out hiking or jogging or running, which is probably what started made the cat chase him, because it's just an instinct. I've even heard of joggers like in India putting like a mask backwards on your head so the cat thinks or the tiger thinks it's looking at you. So
I heard that in tiger scat, they found a lot of masks.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I did see that. I don't know. And then you sent me something about jaguars in Arizona.
Yeah, okay. So
here we go.
Well, like if you've been keeping up with the show, me and Cam and his son and his nephew, we are planning a mule deer hunt in Arizona in like September or late August of this year.
So we pack in.
Yeah, we pack in, right. So you're out in the middle of nowhere. You might be 12, 15 miles from the road. You got to bring everything. You got to bring your food, your sleep, if you're sleeping in a tent or a hammock or whatever. And it's archery only, so we're only going to have our bows and arrows and knives with us. We might carry a handgun. I don't know. But anyways, we're in the desert, so I was looking around. And of course, you know, Google hears you when you're talking, or Instagram does. You got to make sure you turn those microphones off, people. If you go into your settings on your phone, you'd be surprised how many apps are listening to you. But you're probably aware of that. If you start talking about monster trucks, all of a sudden you'll start getting ads for monster trucks show coming up. So anyway, so since I've been talking so much about mule deer hunting, I've been getting all kinds of things popping up about Arizona and camouflage, you know, the typical thing. And I saw this article pop up about jaguars living in Southern Arizona. They've been using a lot of trail cams, the University of Arizona there, or Arizona State, the Sun Devils, I'm not sure which university, but one of the universities, some of the undergraduate students have been setting up trail cams along with the Arizona Parks and Wildlife. And for whatever reason, they've been able to track 5 to 6 they know of, possibly more, jaguars from what you would think would only live in Central America. But apparently they've crossed the entire Sonora Desert and are now in Southern Arizona. So I told Cam, it's one more thing to think about when you're sleeping at night.
That's right.
That there could be an actual jaguar, or El Jefe, as they call it.
I hope if one is to attack, I hope it attacks and kills me, because it'll be an amazing story my family can share.
Yeah. So,
or you want to be like Steve Rinella. Remember, he always said he wanted to get scratched on the chest by like a grizzly bear and have those, you know what I mean? Those big,
no, I know. It sounds like a good idea, but no.
When they all got attacked by that one on a fog neck, he changed his story when he was like, I don't think I want that anymore. Would you take a swipe from like a jaguar if you survived? Would you like to have that done where you could tell the story? Like,
yeah, a swipe maybe. The problem with cats is they go right for your throat.
Or the base of your skull.
Right. So, I mean, they're going to collapse your windpipe.
But they do kill you before they eat you.
That's true.
Unlike canids.
Yeah. Well, if you want to read some truly terrifying encounters with jaguars, just pick up a Capstick book.
Yeah.
And you can read all about the, you know, it's one of the most dangerous things you want to encounter when you're in the jungle.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. I think I'm actually going to do a few stories about, now that you sent that to me and all that stuff, we got the books, I will
I'll do some stories. There was a guy named Sasha or something like that. And he was, that was what he was known for. He was a jaguar hunter.
Well, he went to Brazil and he trained with a Brazilian jaguarundé or something that they called his men a jaguar hunter.
Yeah.
And then, so I'll do some stories about that. About, and when I say hunter, folks, I'm talking they killed jaguar with a spear, and they had dogs. And that's all it was like one dog and the guy with a spear, and they would track these jet. Now, this is back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So, yeah 1915
early
to
19th century. Or early 20th century. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, and but they're no joke. Like, you know, when I say there's going to be jaguars out there, I'm sure several people are like, you talking about mountain lions? I'm like, no, I'm talking about like jaguars.
Yeah. And like, there'll be mountain lions out there too.
I'm not scared of them. Jaguars terrify me.
I wonder if jaguars and mountain lions, I bet they don't even go around each other.
Probably not. You ever see freaking house cats? There's always some tomcat wandering. I mean, they fight. You hear them on the front porch. I mean, I can only imagine if I'm in my war bonnet hammock, sound asleep at 2 a.m. out there on some sky island in the middle of the Arizona desert, and I hear what sounds like two large cats.
You're going to be like, what was that?
If you see me tangled up with one, just kill me.
No, I'm going to let it kill you just because it'll be a cool story.
Yeah, I guess so. So
I will try to shoot it first, though.
Cam's son and nephew don't know about these jaguars, so Cam told me, don't bring it up till we're out there. And you're like, too late to turn back now. You're 15 miles from the truck.
When you're pot committed, I want to look into their eyes sitting across the campfire as Kyle's explaining the jaguar sightings to them. Because I know my nephew, and he does not, look, he and my son are very dry, and like just, my son moves like he's 75 right now. He's like an old man when he gets around. And my nephew was extremely just dry and funny. And I can't wait to see the looks on their faces when you start spitting out there's big giant spotted cats in these mountains here, boys.
They're going to be like, no, he's joking, right? You're like, no.
I'll not to mention link. It's what, the Mogollon Rim or whatever.
That's another thing. Yeah.
We're going to be right on it.
You know, speaking of jaguars and the Mogollon Rim, do you think that some of the strange sounds that people have reported
could be jaguars?
Yeah, it could be something like that. That's what I'm always talking about. There's so many of these sightings that we report on, whether it's Cryptozoology News or Phantoms and Monsters or wherever these sightings come from. That's one of the things I'm always talking about is if you're not aware that that animal's even there, when you hear a strange sound in the woods, your mind can kind of fill those gaps and you start thinking, well, that sounds like a Yowie.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Sasquatch. When in reality, it's a jaguar with a busted windpipe or something like that. You don't.
From fighting or something.
You don't know.
That's true.
You know, that's why I hate these ghost shows or these documentaries where it's always at nighttime and there's people like, did you hear that? I heard something. Hello, let's talk to the spirits. And they go, if you're here, can you give us a sign? And then 10 seconds, they're like, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard it in the woods. Yeah, I heard it too. It could be anything.
It could be, yes.
Anything. It could be a mouse. It could be a bird. It could be an armadillo. It could be a skunk. It could be anything. So to me, that's not... I heard a car door slam. You know, you're like, well, it's well known that the sound of a car door slam is associated with ghosts. I mean, it just... I know that there's people out there, and God bless you, that you love those kind of shows. And look, don't hate on me. Don't send any hate mail. That's just my opinion. When I see those shows, I'm just like, dude... I'm not buying it because you know how easy that is to fake
for television, especially.
For television.
Yes,
yeah.
Especially.
That's the problem. I mean,
it'd be a super
like
easy
Finding
thing
Bigfoot,
to
the show. Okay. My favorite part about Finding Bigfoot is first 5 minutes when they show like a piece of new evidence. The rest of the show is complete nonsense. Complete nonsense. It's them walking in the woods.
Shooting
fireworks, having a disco, sending donuts out. Did you hear that? I heard that. Did you hear that? I heard it. And then they yell.
Yeah.
And I think I heard something call back. More than likely, it's another Bigfooter.
It's another guy looking
calling
for Bigfoot.
Back to you.
Yeah.
I want Bigfoot to be real. I do. But these shows, I don't think, are going to help us find him. And speaking of things that cryptozoology.
Before you go into what you're about to talk about, when you're talking about that calling to the Bigfoot.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a story that Bert Kreischer, the comedian, told.
Okay.
About his father. And his mother and father live on a lake. And they went to visit. And Bert took his wife and two daughters. And Bert's mother reminded the father while he was there, go down there and let him see your owl. Let him hear your owl. You know, you go talk to an owl.
And Bert, he's got like a wild owl in the area that's nesting on his property.
What are you, what are you talking? You know, and Bert was like, what's going on? So the dad gets Bert and the two daughters and they go down to the dock, and it's right at dusk, and he goes out there and he starts calling. Bert's dad's, whoo, you know, starts making these noises, and he calls and nothing happens. And Bert's sitting there and he's like, I promise you, son, there's an owl. I talked to the owl. And so he does it. He hoots again and he hoots again. And this goes on for a few minutes. Nothing. So they're about ready to leave. And the daughters are walking around the side of the dock, you know, getting back up on the bank and whatnot and this, that, and the other. And the dad hoots again. And then they hear it. It calls back, right?
Uh-huh.
So he starts calling and the other owl starts calling. And they're, the dad, Bert's dad's excited, just out of his mind excited, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And one of Bert's daughters is like, Dad, come here. Comes over there and Bert goes, she points way down there on the other side of the lake. You can see a guy standing on the dock, another old man, and he's going, hoo! He's calling.
Yep.
And he hears them, and they both, them old men, can't see each other.
So they think.
But think. And Bert tells the story. He said, I can only imagine the wife of the other old man running into the kitchen going, honey, your owl's back. Quick, get down to the dock. And he runs. They're calling back. Now, that I tell you that to tell you this. I have had friends on multiple elk hunts bugling and calling elk and cow calling. And all of a sudden, they're like, he's right here. He's thinking, right here.
I'm a calling machine.
And 40 yards away, another bow hunter will pop up looking around. You're like, oh, man, they've called each other. Yeah, because they're both just closing in on one another. Like,
man, oh, so, Steve, he is quite the bugler. Checking right. Every time we go, we
They're doing cow, there's cow calls and bleats. And then next thing you know, they've called in other bow hunters. It's one of those things.
But that's a hilarious story. Yeah. But you think about how many times does that happen?
Well,
probably far more than you realize.
Probably far more than a Bigfoot has ever called back to somebody.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's just one of those things.
My favorite recording of the Bigfoot. So
the Samurai Bigfoot.
Yeah, you do it better than I do. Go ahead. Yeah. Just like that.
Like they're mad samurai, and I love it. I love that recording.
I would love to believe that that's real. My favorite part is kudos off to the guy that came up with that. Because
that used that idea. Guy, if it's not real.
It's not real.
Yeah.
That's a great invention.
I would like to just see Bigfoot talk to each other like that. Because it sounds like one's dressing the other one down for something that he did.
What if Sasquatch or Bigfoot actually came across the land bridge from Asia and they actually do talk like Japanese samurai people? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Is it any crazier than thinking like they're out there to start with?
Exactly. We found one finally. And his name is Jojo.
Whoa.
And he's fluent in Japanese. Yeah, that would be wild, right? He loves him some sushi.
That's right.
Or as Luke calls it, sushi. Dad, you going to get some sushi? I'd love some sushi.
Yeah, how crazy. Yeah, that. Well, I mean, why not? But yeah, that is one of my favorite. But what you were about to say, go ahead and get into what we were talking about.
Right. So recently I was listening to another podcast, Joe Rogan Experience, and he had a guy, Forrest Galante, I think was his name. He's an outdoorsman, things like this.
A biologist
from Africa. Anyways, at some point during the show, it was like one of Joe's typical shows. At some point, though, he brought up the thylacine. And, you know, we've specifically had guys on from TRU, the Thylacine Research Unit, on our show probably three times. We've been following the thylacine for a while. And I was beginning to lose hope. Like, I was really, if you would have asked me this a week ago, I'd have said, yeah, I think they're probably all gone. But my mind's been totally changed now because of what this guy said. He said that he's actually been in search of them for a couple trips.
Yeah.
He knows people in Australia, Tasmania,
biologists.
Papua New Guinea, biologists, who all have claimed to have seen them on numerous accounts, numerous times. And so, he also brought up how large of an area they once roamed. See, I was under the impression that they only lived in Tasmania. And I was also under the impression that maybe at some point they lived in southern Australia, but that was about it. But I've also always heard never on the mainland, just Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to find out, this guy says that no, they're all over Australia, they're all over Tasmania, they're all over New Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of an area that wide, that widespread, and also that part of the world is not very populated.
Yes.
And you have respectable biologists claiming that they've seen it on multiple occasions, not just some crazy guy in the woods.
What do you say? And the also, man that's he's a biologist and the head park ranger of the certain park where these guys are, where this college came in to do a study.
Yeah, colleges have been investing a lot of money.
And over the last 20 years, he claims he's seen them four separate times.
Yeah, so now my opinion's changed. I think that the thylacine may, in fact, exist still.
I liked what he said and the fact about New Guinea when he's getting to these places, because Joe brings up a guy that he knows that went into the Amazon looking for a dinosaur. So I knew it instantly.
Mokele Mbembe.
That's who he's talking about. Exactly. And Forrest, the biologist, doesn't seem shocked by this. And then when he starts talking about possible Ropan or Indaba bird sightings in, and he doesn't get into that. He starts talking about pterosaur is what he's saying, but it's the same exact thing. The big bird sightings in New Guinea. Forrest doesn't seem shocked by that either. And I think it's one of those deals. I'm not saying that he agrees. I'm not, you know, I'm not putting words in his mouth.
No,
saying
but he
agrees.
Seems to not think that the idea of a giant flying reptile is not beyond
possibility. And he's not into it. He says he's like, I'm not a cryptozoologist. Yeah. I'm not into that. I like to search for animals that I knew existed. But he doesn't seem blown away by the idea that these things, like I did not, I wasn't unaware of the new wild dogs that have just been found.
I'm not aware of the new ones that have been found, but I am aware of wild dogs from the Capstick books I read years ago.
But I mean the ones he's talking about, they found just within the last year.
Yeah, I was not aware of that.
I had no idea that they have found a whole other species of canine that's a wild canine. I had no clue about all this. So this is yet again another reason, like, we're still finding pockets of things that we didn't know even either existed or were still alive.
I don't think most people realize that there's wild dogs in Africa. We're not talking about like jackals. We're not talking about wolves.
Yeah, we're talking about wild
foxes. They are wild dogs. These are feral dogs, and they're known for killing probably more people than some of the other canine species in that continent.
Well, he even brought up how cowardly a hyena really is.
Yeah.
That hyenas are very cowardly.
I would like to kill one.
I hate those things.
I do too.
They're and it's like just pests. Because the way they look.
Yeah.
It's simply though, I do not like those things, man. They just seem, you know what it is? What scarred me forever? The old documentary, Eternal Enemies.
With
Ntwa Tumela.
Yeah.
He who greets with fire.
Yeah, that's right.
And his brother was Mundavu.
Was that Eternal Enemies? Is that the name of it?
Eternal, because he talks about, in that interview, Joe talks about relentless enemies.
I haven't seen that.
I've seen that one too, where the lions get huge and because they're kind of stranded in a certain pocket. And they only feed on Cape Buffalo. The lionesses are the size of most average males. The males are that much bigger. They are terrifying at the size of these giant lions taken down. But Eternal Enemies are the ones where it's got the two brother lions. There's also another whole lion documentary. I think it's called The Lions of San Sabi. And it was a group of six males, and I forgot how many lionesses. And this single pride of lions conquered and killed more lions in the history of studying these things and covered and actually had control of more lands than any other lion pride in history that they've ever documented.
Well, it's like the lions of Tsavo.
Yep.
I mean,
those were two young, healthy males.
Yeah.
They weren't injured. They weren't starving. They weren't at the end of their lives. They hunted there because hunting was easy.
And you talk about the tigers in the Sunda Band. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about like the same thing I was worried about the jaguars.
Hunting is easy whenever you're something that size and you're attacking pink monkeys.
I saw at the Dallas World Zoo or Dallas World Aquarium, whatever one's downtown. I took Luke there a couple years ago, and in there they have a leopard, or not a leopard, a jaguar. Sorry, leopards are in Africa. They're bigger. Jaguar, but this one's black, solid black. And if you get real close to it, and you know, you can walk all the way to the glass, you can still see the spots, you know.
Yeah,
But when you look at it, I mean, it just looks so cuddly. Like, it looks like something you would just love
soft.
To just, oh, it looks beautiful. The coat is impeccable.
Yeah.
But you can see the muscles under this thing. And you're thinking, like, how hard of a time would I have, like, strangling a house cat if I wanted to? Or even a
like, if it attacked you, what would you do?
Yeah.
I can tell you.
Nothing.
Die.
Yeah.
You would die.
You look at it, you're like, what a beautiful animal. But at the same time, I'm thinking of Apocalypto.
Yes.
When he's running from the lions.
He bites that one in the face.
Yeah, and just before they beat it to death with the sticks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a movie I tried to find on iTunes the other day, and I couldn't find it.
Really?
I was like, dude, I'm going to rent that. I haven't seen that in a while.
It's a great movie. I really
like
that movie, yeah.
And I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it on any platform to rent.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
You think it was because of when Mel went crazy and had all of his anti-Semitic rants, they pulled it off of there?
I would say that, but you could go on Netflix and Lethal Weapon and all that's on there.
That's true.
I'm like, why is Apocalypto not on there?
Hmm.
That's my favorite movie he's ever made.
I think so, yeah. I think it might be one of mine.
I've seen all of the ones. Passion. Look, he knows how to pick them, right? Passion of the Christ and stuff like that. I mean, he made more money than anybody when you start directing stuff like that.
But Apocalypto,
that's a great film.
I chalked that right up.
My wife, she's not into subtitles. Like, I tried to get
mine
her to watch that
either,
years ago.
Watch that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I tried to get my wife to watch it years ago. Out halfway through it. So I see her. She'll check her phone, put it down.
What's funny is to go look those guys up that were in that movie.
Yeah.
And go back and look at the other movies they were in. All the guys, like the Chief, he's been in several movies. There's a bunch of movies you're going to see these guys in that you were like, I did not know that was them.
I'll leave it to you to know their names. Probably. Yeah. You probably know their names, where they grew up, what high school.
I did know the Chief's name, and I forgot who it was. No. Well, it's the same thing as when you watch Hostiles. When you go back and see it's Wes Studies and Hostiles, and you back up and see how many movies he's been in.
You know, the movie Apocalypto, I think what happened is I saw the movie and I really liked it. But then I read War God by Graham Hancock, which made me want to watch Apocalypto again, because when you start, you know, reading about Montezuma, Quetzalcoatl.
I think it's good to read.
I didn't read, I haven't read the last
Apocalypto.
One.
I've read them all. I think it's good to see Apocalypto. But that's a, I don't think it's as accurate as the depiction that he gives in the book.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's a good primer. Like, if you want to read those books, watch Apocalypto first before you read the book, so you can kind of have an idea of what life was like, what you're getting into in that whole time.
Yeah, I've only read the first two. I haven't had the time to read the third one.
Well, the third
I've
one,
got it. It's over there.
The
on
third
the
one
somewhere.
Ends with history, just like. Anything else?
I'm looking at them right now, all three of them.
It all ends in history, just the same as anything else. I mean, it's just one of those deals, but it's a good series. It's a real good series. Like, I can't wait to have Randall on to talk to Randall. And also, hopefully, we end up getting where we can get Graham to come on, because his new one will be coming out this year.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the game plan.
Yeah.
To get him on. And then,
but I'm so excited to talk to Randall, because I want to know more about the whole. The sacred math, the sacred geometry.
Sacred geometry. Like, he's been
really
teaching
curious.
Those courses for years.
And we always said we were going to take one online. We've never done it
just
yet.
Just haven't had the time.
Well, also because I'm not smart. Like, I don't think I can pull this off.
Right.
I can lie my way through a lot of things. I can't lie my way through sacred geometry.
He knows a lot of stuff about the Masonic history. I believe he's a Mason and things like that. Of course, there's going to be portions of that he's not going to be able to talk about. That I'm still fascinated by the cataclysm, end of the last ice age and stuff. So I'm sure we'll be talking about.
I can't wait.
All things like that. I've been going down this tunnel or this path. I don't know what you want to call it, where I've been roped into watching video after video of handmade, hand forged kitchen knives, chef knives in particular.
You were watching restoration videos on Vices.
Yeah. Now it's been these, and I started following people on Instagram.
Making knives,
and it's really starting to bombard me with, I'm seeing the ads for them and stuff, and like, I've already decided which knife I wanted, but then I changed my mind.
I thought you were going to build you a forge. You were going to try to build some.
I would like to. And then at the same time, I've had my knife fascination. I've been going back, and I've been having a new fascination with cameras again. I want to stick with Canon. I've always been a Canon shooter. I've got a lot of Canon glass here. As well as you, but man, I've been trying to talk myself out of not going to switching to Sony, because those new A7 III's, A7R III's, man, those things.
We have to go, because we're going to take pictures and we're going to video and we're going to do all of that whenever we go to Arizona. We're going to document the whole thing.
Well, if you got any questions, I can tell you. Like, the A7 R3 is going to be really great for like landscape photography, things like that. If you're looking for shooting sports, you probably want to go A9. The problem is
here we go.
It's expensive.
These people didn't tune in for a camera review.
I know. I'm
podcast.
Just telling you what I've been into. Also, I recently watched, what was it called? Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix.
I saw that was on there.
You should watch it. But
no,
if you watch it, be prepared to be annoyed and pissed off, because I 100% put blame on the parents on this one.
Okay.
I'm not going to give any spoilers away. If you watch it or you've seen it already, you'll know exactly what I mean. I don't know why the parents aren't in jail.
Did you see the Ted Bundy
I have
tapes?
Not watched that.
Good stuff.
That's like a four-parter, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I was thinking of starting that soon. There was something
You'll
else.
Like it. You'll like it. I mean, you already know the whole story.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
fun to go back and watch it and kind of say, well, I say fun. I guess that would probably be the wrong word to use, but it's very entertaining, because if you're not, it's just, I guess it's one of those fascinating things. And I've talked about this. I don't know that my family agrees with me, but as much as I know that serial killers should probably be put to death,
Yeah. I wish there was a place that we could house them like a zoo, but they were there simply to be studied for the rest of their days.
I don't know if you could study them though. They're crazy, right? Do you remember when we were kids? When I say kids, I'm talking about like high school teenagers here, when they had like the serial killer like playing cards.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah, like I never had cards, any, but like I remember baseball cards with serial killers on them.
I remember a couple goth kids like in art class had them. And like when I was making these little balls out of clay to sabotage their ceramics in the kiln, I remember
the riot girls that we went to school with.
I remember
used to wear the riot girl cheerleader outfits.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember
some of them chicks is pretty hot. I'm not gonna lie.
I remember those cards with the different people.
The serial killer cards. I like how you're talking about sabotaging other people's clay in the kiln.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things to do. It took a while for the art teacher to finally figure out it was me. She's like, you know, you got to be careful, kids, when you're doing your before you fire,
leave
your
a void.
If you leave any air pockets, it's going to sabotage. So she just thought that people were just not paying attention.
And you're just making a big hollow ball like a grenade.
Every day I'd like lift the lid and just stick one in there, stick it back.
What an ass.
You didn't have the technology to watch it happen, but you knew you were causing havoc, as Randall would say.
I was in that exact same class, two classes after you had left, where you were across, because when I was in art class at that time, you was in Senor Alonso's Spanish class.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would throw stuff back and forth from across the hallway. But I was in there one day, and our art teacher dropped an X-Acto knife. And it flipped perfectly and stuck in the top of her foot.
Oh, really?
Dude, it was so bad. Because she stuck and she looked up at everybody like, what's, and like she's looking around left and right, like she doesn't know which way to go, like something's, and then she was acting like Jim Carrey in the, what is it, the Pet Detective 2, where they're in his thighs. That's what she was doing. And good thing she didn't pull it out. She just started walking. She's like, I'll be back. I better head to the nurse. And she's like limping towards the nurse. But it buried it all the way up to the little adjusting ferrule in an X-Acto knife the top of her foot.
I remember I used to get in so much trouble in that class. Probably most of my classes. But I remember her just always thinking I was such a piece of crap. Such a loser. And
she's right.
Well, she's not totally wrong. But dude, her daughter's a way bigger loser.
I know exactly and what
like,
you said.
Now looking at it as an adult, I'm like, what kind of parenting skills did you have? Yeah. Your kid was worried way about worse me. Than me. Yeah.
Maybe that's why we turned out so good. Yeah, she cared about us and not her own. She sacrificed the love of her only daughter. Well, she has two, but the love of her daughter. Yeah. No. I got a story I was going to share, and I didn't think about this at all until it came up this weekend. And I forgot who I was. Somebody had asked me about it that I had told it years ago. And I figured I would tell y'all this. When I first went to work for the municipality I work for now, I had been working on this job for like 2 weeks, and I was a meter reader. I read electric meters and I read water meters. And we drove around in little like S10 pickups. Well, the S10 pickup they gave me was the oldest. I mean, it was like, I think it was like an 80s model. I mean, like it was a beater, man. This thing had not been taken care of. The paint was coming off of it. The air conditioner did not work in it. The radio did not work in it. Only thing it did is it ran. And not even that well, but it was enough that you could drive to one spot and you park it, and then you walked and you read your meters and worked your way all the way back to your truck and got in it and went again. And I've been working for this city about 2 weeks, and so I didn't have on a city shirt, nothing. Like, they didn't even give you – I had a city cap on. That was it, because they won't buy you clothes until you pass your, you know, your probation period to make sure that you're going to stick around. So I'm driving at this one part, and I remember I'm coming down the road. It's not far from where we're at right now. I'm coming down the road, and this woman runs out, and she's I would guess she's probably in her 50s. I later learned I was right. So she's 55, 56, redheaded lady, and she runs down to the curb, and I had seen her when I had come back from another direction.
She come running out of her house?
No, she's just kind of in the front yard milling around.
I got you.
And she kind of jogs down to the curb, and she starts waving at me, right? Waving at me. And I'm like, what does she want? So the first thing I think of is, what if she needs something, and I drive on by like I don't see her, and then it's something that, and then that's how I get
her mother
with
died.
My job. Yeah, something crazy, you know? So I'm like, I better stop to see what she wants. So I pull up to the curb, and I got both windows down on this little truck, right? Because it's hot. It's in the summertime. This old gal is wearing a tank top, no bra, and like short shorts. Okay. It's only when I stop on the curb, I realized that she is a meth head. Like, she is like spun off. And it's at this point I realized I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I should have punched it, but now I'm committed. I'm already stopped. She leans down in the window with her hands on the hood of the little truck, right? So she's got up on the cab. She puts her hand up here, one on the mirror, and she like leans down into the cab. All I see are sores on both of her arms.
Oh.
And she's got like meth breath, and she's leaned in the window.
I wonder
and she's
what that like, smells like.
You don't want to know. And she's like, hey, baby. And I'm like, is everything okay, ma'am? You know, because I'm thinking there's a problem. She's like, yeah. She goes, honey, you got any money?
She flagged out a city truck.
She's so high, she doesn't even know it's a city truck.
Right,
she just flagged one down. And I go, instantly, this is me being a dummy. Instantly, all I can think of is like, well, I've always read those signs on a pizza truck. They're not allowed to carry more than 20. So I go, no, ma'am. They don't allow us to carry money while we work here at the city. Just like that. And she's like, nothing? And I go, no, I don't have any cash. She goes, right now, she goes, I'll take anything. I just need some cash. What do you got? And then everybody, y'all might want to cover your kids' ears. She said, I'll give you a BJ for $10.
Where's this house at?
That's
how far is that from here?
$10. I'll give you a BJ.
I never heard this story.
Now, first of all, this gets even better. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, and this is my mind starts going, well, it's $10.
Seems like a pretty good price.
That seems like a pretty good idea. And you know, pretty good price. And then she's like, how about a dollar? You got a dollar? I'll do it for a dollar. And then in the back, instantly, I'm like, that's 90% off. That's 90% off. She will do it for a dollar. A dollar. I'm like, and I got money. I mean, I got a dollar. But the windows aren't tinted. No. So I'm like, no, ma'am. She goes, you don't even have any change. And I'm thinking, what could I get out? If I gave her a quarter, what's she going to do to me? You know?
I'm go like, away.
I'm almost wanting to pay her to leave at this point. So I'm like, no, ma'am. No, I got to get to work. She goes, all right, darling. You have a good day. And she slaps the cab of the truck on top like I'm launching a rocket. Good job. Boom, boom. I drive off. As I drive off, I go about a block and I stop and I call one of the dispatch ladies at City Hall. And I'm like, hey, look, I just got propositioned by this old crackhead gal. And when I had pulled away, she had flagged down another truck behind me. Another one had pulled in. So I'm like, he may have fell for her wily ways, you know. So I have told him at City Hall. So I go on about and finish my route and I come back to work. And this has only been like an hour and a half since I've seen her. And I pull back to work.
And your brother-in-law's truck's in front of her place.
Yeah. I've got four friends. Kyle's over there. There's like six cars of people I know in front of her house. All of them with a crisp faux quotas.
Which brings me back to the cameras.
Yeah. So as I get to City Hall, I get out and I walk in. Well, it has traveled like wildfire.
I'll bet. Those prices, how can you blame it?
We're cutting prices. So as I walk in, all the girls back there are waving dollars, laughing. The police that are up there in the city, in one part of it, they're laughing and they're shaking $1 bills at me. And I'm like, I've been here 2 weeks and this whole thing. So one of the officers I know very, very well. I'd known him before he was an officer and I've known him this whole time and all this. He comes over there to me and he goes, you met Denise? And I'm like, what? And he goes, Denise. And I was like, okay. He goes, the old gal that hit on you. He goes, don't feel bad. You should have. He goes, most of the time it's her and her daughter out there flagging people down. I go, both of them. He's like, yeah. He goes, we already went and picked her up and had to talk to her for what she did to you. But she's like, I guess there's really not much.
Yeah. Well, can they?
The whole, so they had to give her a talking to that she can't do.
They probably have real crimes they're trying to stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where that's like, no.
They're just like, look, would you quit harassing people for a dollar trying to give them a BJ, a Hummer? I mean, we don't need this going down, right?
Yeah.
It brings me back to a dollar, man. I have spent a dollar on a lot of stuff and didn't get near as much out of it.
You can't get anything for a dollar.
Yeah. So I've told this story multiple times and my family loves to give me a hard time about the fact that they were like, well, how long did you wait before you called in? And You sure you didn't spend that dollar? And I'm like, $10 ain't much, so I can't tell him. But yeah, so that was, and it wasn't the only time I've ever been propositioned, but that was the first time that I was ever propositioned. Something about it after that, like I was propositioned in Cancun and all this
stuff. Yeah, as I say,
but they weren't near as much fun as this crazy old gal here. And sad to say, I haven't seen her in several years.
Probably dead.
But I have seen her daughter still.
Oh, yeah?
I have seen her daughter, and I think her daughter has gotten clean and kind of got back on, because the last time I saw her, she looked like she was, you know, back in the mix, back in the flow. She had strayed out of the stream. Now she's back in the stream again. So she looked like she was all right. But there for a while, that was a wild, that was a good corner. If you had some beer money, you could go buy you a 6-pack of PBR and then slide by there with the change.
I didn't know
stuff handled.
I wish you would have told me about this place.
Where's this house at now?
I don't know. How many years ago did you say this was?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've had some really, I'll tell y'all another one real quick too, happened to me at work. We have things out at the lake that are called grinder pump systems. So you have to imagine a very small septic tank, about the size of, smaller than a 55-gallon barrel. So let's just say a 55-gallon barrel. And inside that is a pump that grinds up human waste. And the reason being is because if the service line going into the sewer line is below grade, so you can't pump water or you can't flow water uphill, especially sewer water, you know, any of this, no water flows uphill, so you have to have a pump system. So out at our lake is a pressurized sewer main that pumps into a giant lift station, which is a giant grinder pump. But each house has a grinder pump system. So at times, people that don't know or move in, things that they don't, they'll flush the wrong things. Boy Scout whistles and cuttlefish being those two things. For those of you that don't know, a Boy Scout whistle is a tampon, is what's known as, and a cuttlefish is a condom. So, and when they're washing around in these, they get real big, like a cuddle. Let's have a cuddle. It's a cuttlefish.
I think we can see the end of the show okay. coming.
Yeah, right.
Keep going. Yes.
So,
the reviews.
I show up to this house. And I take the lid off this thing because it's not working. Me and another guy, and we're trying to get this grinder pump fixed. You have to pull it. So you got to get your gloves on and all this stuff. And you're taking this poo-soaked thing up out of the deal. And you break it apart. And there's some cuttlefish that have bound up in this grinder pump.
Right.
So I'm cleaning them out, taking out these things. And then there's more floating around in the can. So we get it all put together. It's working around. We get it all the trash picked up and it's in there and we go. And then we have to make contact with the person that called it in because it has an alarm system on it. We reset the alarm system and we go to the customer and it's a woman. It's probably in her late 30s, early 40s. Very pretty woman. And we knock on the door and she answers and she's like, did you get it all taken care of? And I said, yes, ma'am. Everything's good. I said, we just have one problem. I said, someone's been flushing condoms through your sewer system. And I said, you can't flush those. I said, you're going to have to throw those in the trash. I said, it won't handle them. I said, the machine will not chew those up.
Right.
And she gets this blank stare of pure hatred on her face. She said, what did you say was in there? And right then I knew I done messed up.
Not just you.
Oh yeah. And I go,
not just you.
Condoms. She goes, we don't use those. I go, really? And she goes, yeah. Yeah, we don't use those. And I've been out of town at our other place. My husband's been here the entire time by himself for the last 30 days. And she goes, but obviously not by himself. She goes, thank you. This won't be happening again. And she slams the door. And I'm just like, okay. So I get in the car. We leave. Don't think anything else about it. About 45 days later, there's a whole bunch of man stuff packed and stacked all out on the curb and a for sale sign in that yard of that house. I'm like, somebody lost all they good. Got caught. Man, you can't be playing around like that. You're going to get caught.
Didn't think he'd get caught.
Didn't think he'd get caught. Got caught.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's a crazy story.
And then I have some more hunting stories stuff, but we got to keep coming up with more stories. We got to tell them more about Larry and all that stuff too.
Yeah, we'll
but,
get to that on the next show. If you have any,
but this week we are going to be playing catch up. We're going to be pumping out more the elite shows, and then we're going to do the show. Randall's show will probably be what next week. We'll probably release that next week, but we'll do another one for this week.
Yeah,
uh-huh. We'll pump one out for this week. We just wanted to get something out to y'all to tell y'all where we've been and what's been going on. And that Kyle was near death.
I was near death, but I am back now. I'm feeling good.
He looks like hell still, but
well, yeah,
he sounds a little bit better.
I do sound better than I was a couple days ago. I'm telling you, man, I was bad. I was bad. I haven't had that much sleep in 5 years, probably.
You sounded real, real rough when I talked.
Well, you dropped off my new bag, and you can tell I just
yeah.
Wasn't
you were just
interested.
Like barely moving. I'm like, yeah, this dude's something. And that's before you got real sick. You were just like, something don't feel right, man. Yeah. Something don't feel right. I figured you was going to die in your sleep. But sure enough, you pulled through.
I was hoping.
Right.
I do like my new bag, though.
Early retirement. If you die in your sleep, it's early retirement. Yeah. That's what I'm shooting for. Yeah. Dude, me too. I had to get all my stuff together and put it in there and hack around and get the settings set right for it. And I think it's going to work out good. We're going to find out.
Yeah, we got to tell everybody it's the new Kefaru.
Kefaru is a bag company. Yeah, Kefaru's been around, I think, since the late 80s, early 90s when they started, because I believe I'm trying to think the man's name that owns Kefaru, but he's an older gentleman, but he was a hiker and a backpack hunter and all that stuff. So when he started, it's because he couldn't find a pack like he wanted. Now, look, the military makes great packs,
yeah,
but these are like those, and they have external frames where you can get up different packs and change the frames out and all that stuff. But these are built with long-term, like I would say, with what you could carry in it, you know, if you could, everything, you could probably sustain a long time out of this pack if you kept your gear in it, you know, and all this stuff, and was able to you know, to get your food and all that stuff together, you would probably be able to sustain a long trek in this thing here.
Yeah, it looks...
Multiples.
It's pretty cool. It's got that carbon fiber frame on it.
It's
and everything.
Lightweight. Yeah, it's rigid and lightweight. I can't wait to give it
a quality
whirl.
Looks amazing. So big shout outs to Kefaru.
Yeah.
Check them out if you want to, if you're looking in the market to get another pack.
Now you're packing your compound. I'm packing my stick bow.
Yep. And
it's going to be lightweight.
Probably gonna
mine's going to be super lightweight.
Probably take my Glock too, just in case one of those Jaguars.
I'm going to go ahead and throw it in for sure. We need to go out there before long. We'll plan a time. We need to go out there before long and just scout it and look around and see what's going on out there too.
Yeah, and if we do a midsummer hike out there in Arizona, we should do maybe a couple remote podcasts from out there. Just kind of sitting around the fire, maybe.
Yeah,
be kind of cool. Maybe you could even catch it on tape, me getting mauled by a jaguar.
That would be. I would film that.
Right. Well, thanks for listening. If you have any stories you'd like to share with me, Kim, as he hits the and
as
punches
I slam the microphone,
you can email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can follow us on all forms of social media. And don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. You can sign up by going to the website, expandedperspectives.com, clicking on the Elite tab and signing up. $5 a month gets you additional episodes every month, as well as access to the entire back catalog. There's like 200 shows over there now, folks. So you can get 200 and something hours worth of me and Cam for $5. Probably the best deal on the internet. Till next time, be careful. I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.